Okay, so my name is Tim Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London and the Wellcome Trust. If I could ask you to tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please.
My name's Mike Richards. My age is 49 and I live in Bath, but I did spend most of my life in London.
Okay, thank you very much. When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
It was actually on my birthday, which is the 21st of April. Which I saw quite a lot of promotion I think it was the BBC website for the project, and I thought, great, it sounds wonderful. I'd heard of Anthony Gormley before, and the fact that it was seemed to be coming into existence on my birthday seemed fate. So I decided to apply.
And how did you feel when you received the email or the telephone call to say you allocated a slot?
Elated. I thought, fantastic. I mean, it's a bit like winning the lottery again. It's an amazing feeling. Immediately, sort of in the hours after that, after I'd emailed everybody I know and phoned a few people, there was a sudden shock where I thought, I'm up there for an hour, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then it was a kind of a busy couple of months to come up with precisely what I'm going to do with my hour, because it's a privilege really to spend an hour up there. I've been coming to Trafalgar Square since I was a boy, and seeing the tree go up at Christmas time and things like that. It was a wonderful space. So I never thought I'd ever get the chance to be up there. So I wanted my hour to be about something. So
what is it you're going to do when you're up there?
Well, I'm going to do a character which I developed about 6 months ago called Captain Teapot. He didn't spring to life completely formed. He came to me in an image one Thursday afternoon. And he's a classic British gent. He wears a bowler hat and a pinstripe suit, and he has a cricket bat and drinks lots of tea. But he's also about good manners and being nice to people and bringing back some old-fashioned values and just being proud of kind of who I am and who what Britain's all about, really. I think there's a lot of negativity about in the world today, but I think Britain is still a pretty great place, still got some problems, but you know, it's not all bad, so we need to sing its praises every once in a while, and that's what Captain Teapot tries to do, I guess.
So what stuff are you going to be taking up onto the plinth, and what are you going to be doing for the duration of the hour?
Well, I'll be taking up onto the plinth, obviously, my bowler hat, my Union Jack gripped cricket bat, an umbrella, obviously, because a British gent always has to have an umbrella, and a couple of teapots, and one of them has some wheels which I've stuck to the bottom, and lead, so I'll be walking my teapot around the plinth like a little dog. I'll be having a nice cup of tea or two, obviously, it's very British. I'll be attempting a world record, which I haven't had confirmation from Guinness yet for, but it's the distance travelled by a tea bag once you hit it with a cricket bat. So I'll be attempting that as well. And also, towards the end of last month, I guess, beginning of this month, I thought, I've got some physical things to do on the plinth, but I don't know if I've got enough to make an hour, and I'd like to recite something. So I was looking for some classic British poems to recite, and I read some Betjeman and Wordsworth and a few things like that, but had a bit of a strange moment while I was researching and decided I'd write something myself. And suddenly one afternoon I wrote three poems in the space of a few hours. And I've written another four since, but they're all about classic British things like drinking tea. There's A Cricket Dream, where I'm playing cricket with W.G. Grace and Jeff Boycott and other famous names against the Aussies. There's A Village Fete, which goes horribly wrong, which I was inspired by a fete that I went to at the beginning of the month where it poured down with rain. All the kind of classic Brit things, really. Slightly tongue-in-cheek, more Pam Ayres than anything else, I guess. But I've been reciting them and practicing them over the last week or two, and it's been an interesting journey for me. I'm learning more about myself as well as part of doing this project. I'd never written poetry before. I may never write it again, but at least that's something I've discovered about myself, which is interesting.
And can you tell us a bit about yourself, a bit about your background, what it is you do?
Okay, most of my life I've been working in IT in central London. I grew up in Battersea and Wandsworth and Croydon. I came to work in central London in IT for some government departments when I was just a teenager. and I stayed in working in London for about 20 years. And about 12 years ago, I kind of got the wanderlust slightly and decided I needed to do something a bit different. Ended up leaving, moving up to Bath, discovering different places around the country, really, with the job that I was doing at the time. And Bath seemed a little bit strange to me because coming from London, it was a bit quiet and it was a bit mellow and it didn't really seem to be much of a feel about it. But as I relaxed into it, I sort of learned to love the place. And despite having come back again to London for a few years for work, I've recently, about 2 years ago, gone back to Bath and I really love it. It's got a great feel. The people are friendly. You can talk to people at bus stops. I met a number of friends at the train station, and in 20 years of travelling on the trains into London, I never talked to anybody on the train. So it's just got a great kind of feel about it, and everybody's quite helpful. And there is quite a contingent of people in Bath who are a bit strange as well. So Captain Teapot doesn't really necessarily stand out that much in Bath, but nobody kind of really looks at me any differently when I go wandering around with my bowler hat on and my Union Jack handled cricket bat. It seems quite normal, and I quite like that.
Can you tell us then, so you developed this character six
yeah.
months ago, like in what
yeah.
context was that development?
Well, I'd stopped working. I became unemployed, I guess, in January. Still unemployed now. But a few weeks into my unemployment, I met a couple of friends for lunch one day, and we talked about art and what wasn't art, a typical conversation which I think has been had thousands of times before. And when the conversation was over and I was on my way back home, I was struck by the feeling that I wanted to do something artistic. But I don't paint and I don't draw, not very well anyway, not since I was at school. But I do know a little bit about art, and I'd been to lots of galleries in the past and had been an admirer of art over a number of years. Although it's not something I grew up with as a boy, never went into an art gallery till I was 18, and that was the National Gallery across the road. And then suddenly one sort of afternoon, a couple of days after the conversation I had been thinking, an image came to me which was of a typical British guy in a pinstripe suit jumping up in the air with a cricket bat, smashing a teapot in front of the Royal Crescent in Bath. And that seemed to me quite a strong image. And once I had that one, lots of other images kept kind of flowing, really. And my neighbour Neil, who's here with me today, he's a photographer part-time. And I went to see him and I said, if we went to the park and I did this, could you capture this image? And he laughed at first, but then he came with me one sort of Friday afternoon a week or so later. And we did a series of the first photographs with me sneaking up on a herd of teapots from behind a tree with my cricket bat, leaping in the air and having tea and things like that in the park. And on the basis of that, we got some prints made up, and it's gone from there, really. We've had about four or five sessions so far. We've done some work for a local charity that wanted some different artwork for an art trail that they're making around Bath. We'd never done anything like that in the past, but we thought we'll give it a go, and the charity accepted our work, and it's great to be involved in something kind of worthwhile and interesting and kind of creative, which is totally the opposite of what I was doing for the preceding kind of 30 odd years, I guess.
So what things would you say are most important to you at the moment in your life?
People, friends and family are very important. Going on, I guess, discovering things about myself and about the world, seeing what I can do next. Since I actually created the Captain Teapot, I did spend a little bit of time helping out at a local art gallery in Bath, and on the back of that I'm actually arranging a young artist's exhibition myself. I've managed to get some space in an empty retail slot in Bath in November, and so far I've invited 25 young artists to come and exhibit, and they're all really kind of quite pleased. It's going to be quite an event, but I've never done anything like that before. It's still all new to me, but it feels good. It feels like I'm doing something kind of useful and interesting, and every day is a bit of an adventure, which I'm enjoying. Which I'm looking at on the unemployment really as kind of a big opportunity to do something different. I could be staying at home every day watching TV and drinking tea, but that would be a bit boring. So I'm enjoying this more than I've enjoyed my real work. It's been fun.
And what hopes, plans do you have for the future?
I don't know. I'm not looking too far ahead. At the moment, the next few months will be busy arranging the exhibition. And once that's over, it'll be Christmas. And I'm just seeing where I go from there. I'm just meeting lots of interesting people on the way, and opportunities seem to be cropping up completely unexpectedly. So I don't know precisely where I'm going yet, but I quite like that as well. So who knows?
And going back to Trafalgar Square, you mentioned Trafalgar Square and remembering Trafalgar Square as a child.
Yeah.
Can you recount some of those memories?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the strongest images I have from here were at Christmas time. At the time, I was living as a young boy in Battersea, and sort of when I was around about 8 or 10, we moved to Wandsworth. But all through those years, we used to come up at Christmas time, particularly every year. There was a small nativity scene in the corner of Trafalgar Square with kind of carved wooden kind of pieces of donkeys and a baby Jesus in the manger and those kinds of things. And always a huge tree, which Norway donate to Britain every year as a result of kind of the help that Britain gave in World War II. And there's a big choir and a kind of carol singing, and that's kind of marvellous kind of event. And I've been to that a few times as an adult as well. But as a boy, it just seemed like a magical, wonderful place, because it's a big open square, all the buildings are beautiful, and you just suddenly come up kind of from where I was in Battersea and Wandsworth, narrow streets and fairly drab looking grey buildings, and you suddenly come into this wide open space, and there's a statue of Nelson which up on the top of this huge pillar, and it's just awe-inspiring. I found it as a boy. Obviously from here we used to jump on a Route Master bus, and we'd probably go up to Oxford Street and see the Christmas lights and things like that, looking in the window of Selfridges at Christmas time when they had the Thunderbirds, Lady Penelope's car, and lots of things in the window at Christmas. But that and coming to see the Nativity are some of the strongest images I have from my kind of real sort of boyhood, I guess, from the age of about 4 till I was about 10. Every year, that was a kind of strong thing we do on a family kind of outing.
And you mentioned the commute as well from South London into Central London on the trains.
Yes.
Can you recount some of those memories for the record?
Well, most of them are either very, very late or very, very early in the morning. So sitting on a train squashed up with hundreds of other people. And everybody looking mildly unhappy and depressed that they're about to go off to work. It's strange to me now that I did that for so many years. From various places around London, I lived in Brixton for a while and came on the tube. I lived in Croydon for a while and came on the train. But everybody seemed to be generally quite unhappy about what they're about to go and embark on doing. I did quite enjoy my job. Thought I was doing something that was quite useful at the time, but there was always an edge, I think, when I would get to the bridge. I would be coming from Croydon, and we'd go through Clapham Junction, and then we'd go over the railway bridge over the Thames, and that was for me when things would kind of wake up a little bit, because I'd see kind of the buildings in the distance. You could see the top of the Houses of Parliament and Battersea Power Station, and all those kind of buildings would suddenly kind of come into view. And I love the river. The Thames is a beautiful kind of winding river, and it's always seems a lovely spot. I don't know whether it was pure coincidence, it's probably more in my head, but I always have this image of whenever I see the Thames, the sun shines a little bit brighter, and kind of it seems a little bit like a kind of magical place to come into. But I do love the centre of London. It's got wonderful things around and all sorts of things you can do. I don't think you could ever really get bored with it. But sometimes it's nice to go and find some peace and quiet, because that's not anything you'll get in central London any longer. It's always busy here. I was surprised at how many people are in the square, even at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock this morning. It's still quite a busy place. And I used to come around here 20 odd years ago. I used to work night shifts in a place not far from here. And at 3 or 4 in the morning, I'd come out for a walk, stretch my legs, walk by the Thames and up to the square, and it would be completely deserted. No night buses back then, the occasional cab, but that was it. And now it's almost as alive at night as it is during the day. It's quite strange, but interesting.
And how does it feel to be one of 2,400 to get to spend an hour on top of the fourth plinth?
It feels great. I mean, it's a real privilege. There's a part of thing in the back of my mind, which is that I'm going to suddenly be on the plinth and I'm going to look down and see myself naked, and then I'll wake up and it's all been a horrible dream. But I'm really looking forward to it. It's been an interesting couple of months since I was told I had the spot. It's not anything that you could, in your remotest imagination, really imagining happening before Anthony Gormley's project. I'd walked past the plinth and driven past the plinth hundreds, probably thousands of times in the past, and looked up there, but never imagined that I'd be up there myself, and that is amazing. And the opportunity, I don't see how anybody could turn it down, really. And anybody who got the opportunity would have to be over the moon at the idea that they're up there for even just an hour. It's an amazing chance. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I don't have any nerves at the moment. I'm not really the classic epitome of the cool, calm, collected British gent all the time. But I've got this kind of adrenaline feel, I guess. It's kind of a tingle. And I can't wait to get up there. I'm sure I won't want to come down. I'll take some supplies with me, maybe a few extra biscuits. I'm sure you'll whisk me off at 6.
Great, thank you very much.
You're welcome, thank you.